every little statement that I read in a probably a Capper's Weekly, and it's maybe been 20 years ago, and I may have mentioned it here before a time or two, but there was a lady that was watching her children play in the yard, and they was cutting up a little bit over here, and so she stuck her head out the door, and she says, "What on earth are you doing, for heaven's sake?" And then she kind of stopped and hesitated and thought what she'd said. And did you ever think of that? What on earth are we doing, for heaven's sake? But what we do at this time is what's going to determine what it's going to be, for heaven's sake. And if I would ask a person probably what the first thing a person had to do, you're going to have faith, you're going to have some hope, and you're going to have to repent. These are some of the things that you're going to have to do that a person might be able to benefit from some of the things that's promised to those people that follow after the ways of the Lord. And if we truly repent of our sins, then we've got to make a move toward better things. But if we're going to really repent, we shouldn't sin anymore, should we? This is one of the things. And if we're following after the ways of the Lord, then it's probably then we should be baptized. And after that, we should keep the commandments. I often think we know repentance, baptism, then it says several other things that a person's got to do. And Marvin reminded me here a while back, that was probably back in about 1948, we went to a church over here, and around the wall they had some of the things that we must do. It said, some of the principles of the gospel. It said repentance, baptism, resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. Now, does anybody see anything missing there? In the scripture it says baptism, repentance, baptism, and laying on of hands. That was one of the things that was missing in their plaques around the wall in this church. But if we are going to truly benefit from the things that the Lord's promised for us, we're going to have to do a lot of these things, and we're going to have to follow after the ways of the Lord. And the more we practice at it, the easier it becomes. Why do you suppose that they teach a child that 2 + 2 = 4? Why do they do that? Over and over again. They don't want him to ever forget it. And your multiplication tables, I doubt that if you would have read them over 4 or 5 times, if you just read them over 100 times, you still would have had your multiplication tables through 12, would you? But you have got to learn that 4 × 4 = 16. You've got to repeat it, and you've got to know it. And this is the same way with the gospel. We have got to learn it, and we've got to know it forwards and backwards, and we've got to know the principles of it and the values of it. And one of the things, if we keep the commandments of the Lord, we know that it's told that it will be well with us, and that if when we have passed from this life, that we're going to gain a reward. But if we keep those commandments, we're going to get a lot of those rewards right today. People that follow after the ways of the Lord are a happier people. Some people say, "Oh, I know those people that go to church, they always have a long face." But I don't really believe that's the case. I don't really believe so. Now, we're a pretty sober-minded group, all right. We're aware of what happens about us and in the world, and we're very concerned. But I hear people chuckle and laugh quite a bit about little things that happen, and we enjoy ourselves. But people that belong to Christ Church should be a sober-minded people, but you should be able to enjoy yourself also. And I want to read one of the things in the scripture, and this I've read, I doubt if I've read it in the last 8 or 9 months. I think that probably I've heard it read in the scripture here within the last year, and that's in the 91st Psalm. And I think all of you have read this. I don't know where to begin in this reading, and I really don't know where to stop. It contains a lot of promises to the people that want to follow after the Lord. But we might start with the first verse here. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. Now this is quite a thing right there, isn't it? This is what the person says of Him. My God, that's who He is. In Him will I trust. Now we know that a little child trusts in his parents, doesn't he? And we should trust in the Lord just exactly like that. It's sometimes a little bit hard. As we get older, we tend to kind of depend upon ourselves. The same as a child does. When he gets a little older, he depends on himself. But we, as we get older, should go the other way, and we should put our trust more in the Lord and turn to Him for our needs and for our strength and for our trust. Surely He will deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and thy buckler. And it's a part of promise to us there, isn't it? His truth would be our shield and our buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrow that flieth by day. Nor for the pestilence that walketh in the darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling, for He shall give His angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. Now I believe if there was a group of people that was righteous enough, the Lord could do this. And He could protect us at any time that we needed protection. And it would be a wonderful thing to live amongst a group of people like this, or in a land that the people was in this condition. I think it'll be that way someday again. There will be a time when the people can live that way. And it would be wonderful if some of us here could live to that day. But there's great promise held forth. But in the event that some of these evils do befall us, we know that the Lord is going to give us strength if we seek after it. And that if it is that we're called upon to give our life for the Lord, that in the life hereafter, we will receive a great reward because of it. But if the righteous are called upon for this, to give their lives, and if you remain righteous, the Lord is going to strengthen us and bless us such as we have never even imagined. We know in the scripture that when They persecuted the saints, but he gave unto them strength and comfort. And he will do it for us today exactly as he did 2,000 years ago or 3,000 years ago or whatever it might have been. I want to turn over into Alma in the 26th chapter. Beginning with the 99th verse. And this was at a time when the Lamanites had came up against the Nephites to do battle and to destroy them if it were possible. And as, if we would go back a little farther in this story, we would find that there was a group of Lamanites that had turned to the Lord. And they had pledged not to take arms up against their brothers ever again. And the as time went on, the Lamanites came up against them and the Nephites do battle. And they had made this pledge that they wouldn't take up arms. But their sons took up arms for them. There was about 2,000 of them. I believe it does say 2,000 young men took up arms to fight against the enemy on the side of the Lord. And we'll find out some of the things that happened here, beginning with the 99th verse. And it came to pass, after the Lamanites had fled, I immediately gave orders that my men, who had not been wounded, should be taken, that who had been wounded should be taken from among the dead and caused that their wounds should be dressed. And it came to pass that there were 200 out of my 2,060 who had fainted because of the loss of blood. Nevertheless, according to the goodness of God and to the great astonishment and to our great astonishment and to the joy of our whole army, there was not one soul of them who did perish. Yea, neither was there one soul among them who did not receive many wounds. Now they had been wounded, and it was a very serious occasion. Some of them had fainted because of the loss of blood. But all of them were still alive. And now their preservation was astonishing to the whole army. Yea, that they should be spared, while there was 1,000 of our brethren who were slain. And we do justly ascribe it to the miraculous power of God, because of the exceeding faith in that which they had been taught to believe, that there was a just God, and whosoever did not doubt that they would be preserved by his miraculous power. Now there was a group of young men that beyond a shadow of doubt put their trust in the Lord and believed in him. And they were a righteous group of young men, and they were preserved. Now they did receive wounds, but they were not destroyed. Now this was the faith of those whom I have spoken. They are young, and their minds are firm, and they did put their trust in God continually. Now I believe that we had a group of 2,000 young men today, if this same thing could happen again, that they could be preserved. And we should put ourselves in a condition that, if necessary, we could trust and expect these things from the Lord. Now we know that we're told to seek ye first the kingdom of heaven. And that if we do this, all the rest that we need is going to be added to it. And I think that everyone here is seeking after the kingdom of God. We have no, in our mind, there's no other way to go except to seek the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God. And we know that he's given us some pretty good rules and regulations to live by. I think I'll read the great commandment that the Lord gave all of us to live by. In the 22nd chapter of Matthew, it's worded this way. And they had been discussing things with Christ, and this lawyer had attempted to trap Christ in some of these statements and so on. In the 36th verse it says, "Master, which is the great commandment in the law?" And Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love thy Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." And it doesn't take too great of imagination to realize that if the whole world felt this way, that it would change overnight. There's lots of people that claim that they believe in the Lord and seek after Him, but they don't do much toward loving their neighbor. And this is a sin before the Lord if we don't do that. There's other people that might get along pretty well with their neighbors, but they don't care nothing about the Lord. But we've got to put both of them together. And we've got to strive to keep those two commandments. And if we do it, we're going to be a blessed people beyond what we could imagine. I want to read a little bit out of James in the first chapter. I want to begin here with the 25th verse. "But whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he be not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." Now this is a promise to us. If we look into the law and keep it, that we're going to be blessed in it. "If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and the widows in their afflictions, and to keep thyself unspotted from the world." And we know other places it tells us to visit the sick and to do other things. But the things that we should do a whole lot is just what our conscience tells us to do. I think if we don't sear our conscience and if we seek after the Lord, the things that we should do is going to be made known unto us. I want to turn again over into Alma for a few verses. In the 16th chapter, and beginning with the 23rd verse. This is after they had he had talked to them and told them to pray in their families and to pray over their flocks and so on. And now behold, my brethren, I say unto you, do not suppose that this is all. For after ye have done all these things, if ye turn away the needy and the naked, and visit not the sick and the afflicted, and impart of your substance, if ye have, to those that stand in need, I say unto you, if ye do not any of these things, behold, your prayer is vain and availeth you nothing, and ye are as hypocrites who deny the faith. Therefore, if ye do not remember to be charitable, ye are as dross, which the refiners do cast out, being of no worth, and is trodden under the foot of men. So if we do repent and are baptized and keep those commandments, but if we don't continue steadfast in the way, we're going to fall to the wayside. We know that it's easy as we walk along the straight and narrow path to fall off one side or another. It takes a little effort to stay upright, just like on a bicycle. Did you ever think on a bicycle there's very few people that can sit still? And in the gospel of Christ, there's very few people that can sit still. You're either going to go forward or you're going to go backwards. But if you take a bicycle, if you keep moving, you can ride a pretty straight line and keep upright. But as soon as you stop, you're going to be getting off right there. And the same it is with the gospel. If we keep pushing forward and striving to do that which is right, then we can do it. But as soon as we stop, then we're in trouble. I want to read a few verses out of the 5th chapter of 3rd Nephi. Beginning with the 66th verse. And behold, I have given you the law and the commandments of my Father, that ye shall believe in me, and that ye shall repent of your sins, and come unto me with a broken heart and a contrite spirit. Behold, ye have the commandments before you, and the law is fulfilled. Therefore, come unto me, and be ye saved. For verily I say unto you, that except ye shall keep my commandments which I have commanded you, at this time ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Ye have heard that it hath been said by them of old time, and it is also written before you, that ye shall not kill, and whosoever shall kill is in danger of the judgment of God. But I say unto you, that whosoever is angry with his brother is in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say unto his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. And whosoever shall say, Thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. Therefore, if ye shall come unto me, or shall desire to come unto me, and remember that thy brother hath aught against thee, go thy way unto thy brother, and first be reconciled to thy brother, and then come unto me with full purpose of heart, and I will receive you. Now this puts quite a bit of burden on us, doesn't it? This means that we've got to get along pretty well with our fellow men. And then we shouldn't even be angry with another person. And this is an awful hard thing to keep from doing sometimes. Especially when you know that somebody has wronged you, or has wronged those around about you. And this is where it takes quite a bit of faith and prayer and seeking after the Lord that we might overcome these things. Sometimes it's a lot easier to think that you would just like to go out and smack somebody. It would be a lot easier. But this isn't what it says in the Scripture. Now I want to read a little bit out of the 12th chapter of 3 Nephi. And this is after he had been preaching repentance and baptism and so on. Verily, verily, I say unto you, this is my gospel. And ye know the things that ye must do in my church. For the works which ye have seen me do, that shall ye do, that shall ye also do. For that which ye have seen me do, even that which ye shall do. Therefore, if ye do these things, blessed are ye, for ye shall be lifted up at the last day. We can go back into the Scripture and we'll find what the Lord has told us to do. And that's what we've got to do. And if we have any doubt of these things, all we've got to do is search the Scripture and search our own hearts for that which we know is right and walk uprightly before the Lord. Some of the things that is hard to do sometimes is to become more humble. I think most people have a tendency to be a bit on the proud side, but we have got to be a humble people, and we've got to be meek, and we've got to be patient. And being patient is one of the things that probably bothers me the most, because when I want something done, I want it done right now, it seems like. And sometimes we have to wait for these things that we need to have done or more done. And another thing that's very important is to encourage each other. And this is something that we should do. And we've got to study the Scripture. And it's a lot easier to study the Scripture with somebody. It's well to read it by yourself once in a while. But did you ever notice lots of times you'll be reading it together and make a few comments, and all of a sudden that you'll have a greater understanding? Because it seems like lots of times two heads are better than one. And we know that we're commanded to have charity. That's one of the greatest of all commandments. We know that we're not to be lifted up in pride, and we're not to envy. And this is another thing that's hard to overcome. As we see people that have a whole lot of things, and we get a little bit envious. And if we can overcome this one thing, I think it would give us a lot more strength. If we can overcome envy, we can have a lot more charity in our hearts. And if we have charity, we're going to overcome envy also. They're going to work right together. You know, we go to great lengths to take care of our bodies. We clothe it. We keep it warm, and we buy food for it. If it's sick, we usually buy what medicine we think we need, and we go to these great lengths. But yet, people will spend thousands of dollars on their bodies to take care of it, and yet won't do one thing for their souls. And you know, now your soul doesn't take food like your body does. However, if you don't take care of your body, you can't take care of your soul either. But yet we've got to feed our soul, and that's got to be spiritual food. And what type of spiritual food have we got to have? We've got to seek after the Lord. As I said to begin with, we've got to have faith and hope. And we've got to repent, be baptized, lay on of hands. We've got to have faith that there is going to be an eternal judgment and there's going to be a resurrection. And we've got to have charity in our hearts one for another. And we've got to strengthen each other. And by you strengthening me, and if I can strengthen you a bit, it helps us both. And it gives us understanding. And consequently, we're able to feed our souls. And if we do properly feed our souls, and if we pay attention to what we learn, and if we keep the rest of the commandments, then in that last day, we're going to be able to enter into that rest that the Lord has prepared for us, if we run the race the way that the Lord has set for us to run. But to run that race, and to run it well, we've got all these commandments to keep, and we've got to search the Scripture that we might understand. And it's my prayer that we will spend more time searching the Scripture that we might feed our souls, that in that last day we'll receive the reward. I thank you.